You're listening to the Living With No Roots podcast, a platform where we can share stories together about being multifaceted, multicultural, and engaging in multiple perspectives. Whether it's people, food, languages, or values, it would all be discussed here. Welcome to Living With No Roots. Akuba Akuba, locals and nomads, this is Achinga, a multicultural nomad, and I'm the host of the Living With No Roots podcast. If you're new here, let me tell you a little bit about this podcast. This is a platform where we share stories about people, culture, issues, the world, because I believe the more we share stories, the more we're able to foster empathy, and the more we are able to understand what are the things that keep us grounded and the things that help us embrace change. Change has been a big part of my life because I'm a third culture kid, or TCK. A third culture kid is a person who spent a big chunk of their life outside of their passport country. And for me, it was Lebanon. My mother is Ivorian, my father is Congolese, and my life in Lebanon has really taught me so many things. I've been exposed to so many cultures, issues, people, and I believe that every single experience made me the person that I am today. And because of my upbringing, I do have a very interesting way of looking at life. And I know that there's so many people that have lived that life being a third culture kid. So when I moved to the United States 6 years ago, I decided to create a space where we can share those things. Like, yes, a lot of times our lives are very exciting, but there are some issues and things that we go through. And I wanted you to see my life, or the life of a TCK, through my eyes. But at the same time, I want to come in with an open heart and learn about other people and broaden my perspective. This is why I want other people to come in, share the story, share their life, because it is a beautiful canvas. This life is a beautiful canvas, and every single story is beautiful. Whether you lived in the same city or country for thousands of years, or you moved to a new country every single day, I still want your story to be shared today. So as I was preparing for this podcast, I asked y'all a couple weeks ago if you would get offended if somebody rejected a food that you grew up eating or something that you made for them. And I did not get a lot of response on social media, but I did have some conversations with some people on the side. And it's been half-half. There's certain people that do not get offended, and the other people that do get offended. And let me tell you a little bit about why food is so important. I am so passionate about food. Let me start first. I'm passionate about cooking, baking food. When I think about food, I just think of the time that I'm with my mom in the kitchen, and we're just cooking together, and we're making like a tart or something. It just reminds me of home. And as I moved to the United States, I realized that they have a very different aspect. The culture have a very different aspect of looking at food and culture. But let's start with the United States. I struggled a lot with food here because, one, there's an excess of food. And it's great, and options. However, the food that is accessible and available, most of the time, it's either fast food. Most of the time, it's fast food. Not either. It's fast food, and most of the time, it's unhealthy. And I've realized, like, even when you buy food from the store or go shopping, there's always chemicals, and it does not taste right. Like, I do remember when I first moved to the U.S., and I had a grape. I was so surprised that it did not have a seed. And I asked people, why does it not have a seed? And people are like, yeah, grapes don't have seeds. And I'm like, no, this is off. Or another time I ate a watermelon. Even though I ate it and it tasted good, the texture was off. And it just feels fake. And sometimes it's hard to eat these kind of foods. So it's hard to eat and I don't really enjoy it. This is the reason why I like to resort to cooking food from home and in my home and do all these things. And if you want to buy like organic food, it is so, so, so expensive. And it's a very different life than I had in back in Lebanon. In Lebanon, there are fast foods, but it's more expensive than regular food. And if you really go to fast food every now and then, that means like you have money. And the food that is available or that is accessible is very cheap. And you know that the food is honest. The food, like what you're getting from, it's honest, it's good. And they're not putting weird chemicals. Like if the tomato that you bought looks weird, does not look perfect. And how to say, the word that I'm looking for is, I forgot the word. But if you're looking at the tomato and it doesn't make your mouth water because it looks so beautiful and appealing, that's the word I'm looking for, then you know that this is actually good food. And another thing that I realized that with the, because of the difference or the way that the, I think the industry, like farming and everything here in the U.S., and all those chemicals that are put in the foods, it is so hard to keep up with a healthy lifestyle in the United States. So, so, so difficult. Like the fact that you have to keep up with calories, keep up with all these things. Whereas other places in the world, you do not work as much. You don't have to do a lot of like mental health, like mental math and calculate and do all these things. Just or even subscribe to quote unquote diet in order to stay healthy. Now, I'm not saying the possibility of having an unhealthy diet is not possible when you are, or unhealthy lifestyle when you are in a developing country, but it's less likely. It's because the food is natural, it does not have all those things that your body may not digest. And I have to work twice as hard to actually maintain a very healthy physique. And right now, I am working on myself and trying to be healthier than be at the healthiest point, healthiest form that I can be because of the food here and stress. Now, that's me talking about like what, like just food in general, how it's like. Now, from a cultural aspect, I realized that a lot of, I think I was having a conversation with a family, with a lady who was a missionary in Europe for a while. And I was talking to her about my podcast and the conversation about food. And I said, like, what really surprised me coming here to the US is that there's no respect to food. Because now food is kind of like an activity, an event. It's not a sacred time. Growing up in Lebanon and also encountering so many cultures, when you have food together, it's such a wonderful moment because you're sharing stories, you get to meet, and you get to do a lot of things and form and bond over a meal. Now, in the United States, it's like it's a dying art. I think that's the right word. People don't eat together. And if you want to get food, like it's like, oh, lunch is ready. Everybody pick up their food and they go watch TV. And I remember that missionary telling me that the issue with how the U.S. has developed with time is because they start coming up with TV dinners and all those things, and you watch the TV and eat together, that you lost that sense of closeness because of the food, that closeness because of what the industry is trying to do, like get things quick and ready, and this instant gratification kind of lifestyle. The United States is not a country where you can really live life. It's kind of like a factory. Like you feel like you're living to work, and it's like 9 to 5, and if you're not doing anything, quote unquote anything, you feel like you're behind. And it's, if you do not come into the United States with a healthy mindset or know who you are as a person, you can get lost in this, in the unhealthy habits, or fall into the American lifestyle and pick out the unhealthy habits of being an American. And that's my opinion. That's what I saw. So it was really, really sad seeing that. And also I've realized with a lot of Americans that I've met and talked to about foreign food, a lot of them are very reluctant on trying foods, new foods. Now, I know that every single person is different. There's a lot of people that have different, but I've noticed with a lot of like Americans, they do not like trying new foods. And if they do try to, if they do try new food, they are very expressive on their disgust on the food. And here in the United States, because it's a country where you can express whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, and it's fine. But in other cultures, it will strike a nerve, and it's not okay at all. Let me give you an example of a story, or like give you a story of what happened with me once. I was once I went on a mission trip to the Ivory Coast a couple years back, and I was with a team of people, and we were having food, and because we went as college students to the mission, to the country, to the Ivory Coast, we had a missionary host, and we were invited to a village, and we were honorary guests. And in order to do our work there, we had to first go meet the chief, give a gift, and then the chief has to invite us for dinner in order to show to his people that it's a sign of respect, and to show to his people that he accepts us. So he invited us over for dinner. That night, we sat there. They prepared a lot of foods. I was very excited because those are foods that I grew up eating. So it was like really great eating that, because it's been a long time since I've eaten African food, and I didn't have a car. I didn't have access to all those things that I grew up eating. So the missionary said that in this culture, in the Ivorian culture, first, people are going to come and ask you, the person who's going to serve, they're going to ask you, what do you want to eat? And you can pick out and choose what you want to eat. And you can tell them how much you want and how much you want in your plate. However, once the food hits your plate, once the food is served, you have to eat everything that's in your plate. So we were all served, and of course I ate a lot. I put a lot of food. And there were certain things that one or two of the people that were with us in the team that did not really like the food, or did not really like certain aspects. And they like were quote unquote or secretly passing the food into my plate. And then I ate the food. I ate the food and it was fine. However, I did notice one of the ladies who served us, she was speaking in French, and I think she was also speaking in her tribal language. In the tribal language, not the tribal language that I speak. And she was, you know, and I noticed the nonverbal cues that she was not happy, and she was really offended that they did that. And everybody else didn't do it. It wasn't a big problem, but in other cultures, it can be a big problem. Like, I heard one of my friends actually went on a mission trip to China. And somebody that I know went on a mission trip to China. And they go and they wanted to share their story, and they want to bond with the family and share about the gospel, the work of that. I think within that culture, they give them the eye of the fish or something. I think the eye of the fish, and you have to eat it. It's an honorary, they give it to the guest. It's an honorary symbol or gesture, and they had to eat it. And once they ate the eye of the fish, That's when the host said, okay, tell me about your Jesus. Tell me about what you want to tell me. So braving, being selfless and braving your fears will open doors to great conversations. Now, it can be really hard. It can be really hard to actually get to do that. But for people, certain foods or like their cultural food holds so much meaning. One, it can be history. It can also be, it ties a lot to history and also ties a lot to family values. Like sometimes it can be war, different things. And even if you look, like I've learned recently that there were a lot of foods, like I think maybe Cajun and soul food, which are foods that are served in the South, or they were predominantly based in the South, are originated from slavery. A lot of the slaves struggled while eating. They were eating and struggled during slavery, and they were not nourished well, or not given the right, you know, it was slavery. You get the picture. So a lot of them created meals with what they had, with leftovers, something. And now they have become staples of the South and soul food. So a lot of foods that come in, they come from a very enduring moment, or very important part of people's history, and that it becomes part of their identity. Now, let me give you a story of one time that I had to eat food that was really interesting, and I had to brave the obstacle and eat the food in order to show respect to the culture. So I went with some friends from to a church, and we were invited to one of my friend's churches. He is from Burma, or I think we can also say Myanmar. He's from Burma, and it was really great, beautiful service. It was fun. We enjoyed it. I liked it. I did not understand anything because everything was in the native tongue. And afterwards, the pastor wanted to invite us to a restaurant. The restaurant that was for one of the church members. The owner was one of the church members. So we went into that little nice shop, and it was beautiful because like it was not like a fancy shop, and that's how you know it's authentic. And you see a lot of food that you do not recognize, or different things, and it just has this, I don't know how to say, this smell. And you're like, yeah, I like this. I know this is going to be authentic. So we go into the back, and there was this long table, beautiful table. It was set with different foods and different things. And they value community, of course. And we sat down. And each person had a bowl in front of them, a bowl of soup. And I was like really excited. And then I see floating innards. I'm not a picky eater. I'm very open to eating anything. There's only certain things that I wouldn't eat. But if you invited me to your home and you're feeding me something that I'm not going to be, that I will struggle eating, I will eat it and not show you. So I was really, really, really worried because I know myself that I will struggle, and especially when it comes to meat. And it was like a floating tube, pink tube in my soup. And I remember we were all praying. And in my heart, I had like a personal prayer. I was like, Lord, please let this food stay in my stomach. And I do not want to vomit this. So after we finished praying, I look at the battlefield, which is the table. And I was like, I have to think of a strategy. So I got some pepper, and I put a lot of pepper in my soup. Now, my friend said that It's okay if you do not like the food. You don't have to eat it all. But for me, I was determined because I know how much in my home we value our food and we value all the things that we've done and culture and different things. So that's why I'm like, I don't want to be disrespectful to somebody else's food. So I put all the pepper in and the soup was really hot and I started like gulping the soup. And I didn't even try to let the meat touch my tongue because I know my gag reflex is awful and I'm gonna vomit. So I just in. And it was a hot and spicy sensation down my esophagus. And it was, oh, it was so, so bad. It was so bad. But I was the first one who finished the soup. And at the end, we all ate and we were all happy. And I started eating other things and everybody was really proud and they were really happy. And we liked it. All my other friends, like, they loved their food. And then when we went home, I was in my friend's car and they were talking about how they really liked the food. They really enjoyed it and all that. And I was like, yeah, I hated that soup. They're like, you hated that soup? Like, how? I was like, well, like, you were the first person that ate it. You finished it. I was like, yeah, I've kind of grown learning how to trick myself into eating foods that I do not like. And I did not like that food. And I'm glad that nobody noticed that I did not like it. And thankfully, in that culture, if you finish your food, you're good. They're not going to serve you again because there are other cultures, other Asian countries where if you finish your food fast, they're going to give you more and they're going to keep feeding you until they run out of food. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what's your life like. I don't know what are your things that you like and your food, or if food really holds a really important part in your life. Would you be offended if somebody rejected the food that you made or if thing that you that's come from your culture, from your home? And I'm not just talking about cultures meaning other, like if you're from a different country, but even your own home. Your own home. Like whether you're American, not American, whether you're Asian, Black, whatever. Each home has their own culture, their own way of life, and they have values. Would you be offended if a person rejected your food? Yes. Why? No. Why not? And also, what would you do to help yourself broaden up your perspective and eat food from different cultures? Would you do like me, put spicy food and eat it, gulp it real fast? Or would you have a different strategy? I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Okay, for this new season, I wanted to add a new segment called Have You Read It? Where I simply go on Reddit and read some posts and give you some of my thoughts. I know, the title is not that creative, but I'm so excited for the stories that we're going to get. So let's hear the new Have You Read It post. Here's the title. Will being a TCK cause me to be forever alone? Very interesting title. Let's start. I'm a TCK who has managed to stay in the same country for the past decade. I'm reaching 30 and still single, despite being conventionally attractive, educated, and intelligent. Some might say funny. We're starting strong. You are so, so, so confident. Let's see what's the problem, my friend. I get praised so often and get men's attention so easily. Okay. Let's see what's happening. That the only rational conclusion that I have, as to why I'm still single and haven't been able to find a guy who will commit in 8 years is because my personality sucks. That being a TCK makes me weird. You did not just jump into conclusions. You just jumped in a pool of conclusion. Not being in a relationship does not make you... Okay. Let's finish the post before I give my full comment. No matter how hard I try, I never fit in socially anywhere. I've tested for autism 3 times and I'm not even remotely on the spectrum. So my friend hypothesized that it must be due to moving so much as a young child. I am who I am. It is what it is. But no one seems to accept or like me once they get to know me. I know I'm a good person. Has being a TCK cursed my dating life? I really don't want to be single forever. Edit. Since many asked, I'm in a major city in the US. Okay, my friend. This screams desperation. I do understand the desperation. I do understand and hear the desperation in this post. It's screaming all over the words, in between the lines, in between paragraphs. Number one thing I want to say, no. Being a TCK does not curse your dating life. You are different. Yes, you are different. You're not weird. You're just very different from other people. As a TCK, we really care. As TCKs, we really care about relationships. And home is not a place. We're too foreign for our host country, and we're too foreign for our passport country. So the only place that we call home is being around other people. TCKs, there are people. So of course, you are going to look at relationship a little bit deeper. What I've noticed in the US that because of the individuality, like the culture of individuality, people don't really take a long time. They don't really take their time to delve into relationships. That most of the time it starts as benefits. Like if I benefit from this relationship, I am going to invest in it. If I'm not going to benefit from it, no, it's not. And I know like it's kind of every single relationship like that, but it's kind of like the first thing that happened. Like you can go to a person like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm good. Or he goes like, oh yeah, I'm good. You know, they don't really want to know how you're doing. It's just out of politeness. Now, I just really don't understand, why did he go and test for autism 3 times? You don't know me, but I don't like the fact that he did that. Like the fact, no, it's different if you want to know that you are actually have a different way of interacting with people. But the fact that you think like, oh, the reason why I'm not going to be in a relationship is because like I have autism. Oh, no, I have autism. I struggle with autism. Let's use the right word. The right... I don't say struggle. That's not even right. I don't even say I have autism. I think that's the right term to use. It's kind of implying as if, like, people who have autism cannot be in relationships. You know, there's a lot of people that I know that have autism and are in beautiful relationships that are married. I know a lot of TCKs that are in relationship and great flourishing relations that are married. Like, and some of them have been married to people who are not TCKs, and all of them are married to people that are TCKs. I just think that you're just in a wrong pool. You are in a pool of bad conclusion. But you need to go in another dating pool. And also, you're living in a major city in the U.S. Dating apps and also, I feel like culture of dating. And because we're young, as young adults, it's really hard to find the right people. Like, they're not really serious. And you are really serious about those relationships. And people just want something easy. And you're not like that. So that's why they might not want to commit to you or get to know you better. But I don't think you're going to be single forever. It's just the right person's out there. Go on dating apps and all that. But, oh, and also, don't rush to being in a relationship. We're still young. You said you're reaching 30, almost 30. You just started living. So, like, I'm 24 right now. And, yeah, I'm 24 years old. But in adulthood, I'm 6. I'm still trying to figure out this life. And I haven't been in a relationship at all. But I don't think that makes me a bad person. And that does not mean that it cursed my life. It just, I have certain standards and things I'm looking for. And there's other people that are looking for the same thing. You just have to be patient, my friend. What do y'all think, guys? Do you think that being a TCK may curse your dating life? What would you tell that person? And if you have any great Reddit posts you want me to talk about on the podcast, please send them over. Many people, group, and cultures have a unique approach to food, and they have customs, tradition, history tied to it. So what would you do when you are presented a meal that you may not be comfortable in eating? For me, food is a necessity, but also it's an amazing opportunity to build a relationship. Food is sacred, and it should be treated as such. Also, I would like you to tell me, do you think being a TCK can kill somebody's dating life? I would love to hear all of your thoughts. But before you leave, let's listen to the preview of next episode.
When you get the register thing, they remove it?
Yeah. The security thing.
So, yeah. I was like, it's so cool. And I there was no tag on it. There wasn't no price on it. I thought it was for free. So I took it with
me. How old were you? Wait a second. Wait, when did that happen?
I can't wait for you to listen to this next episode. I hope that you get the opportunity to broaden your perspective and embrace change. Ma salama. See you next time.